Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
To another episode of Happy Mum, Happy Baby, the podcast. Today's guest, I've kind of been begging her to come on since series one. She is my favourite of all the judges of all the shows. She's been on a few of them. She is an author, a rapper. I literally remember being in like my late teens and going and dancing to her raps and stuff in clubs. She is a mother of two. It's the amazing Alicia Dixon.
Oh, that's so nice.
Honestly, I can remember, and I'm literally just remembering it now, I can remember like Mystique coming on when I was out in clubs, and at that point where you literally just would walk around and look a little bit sexy and think you look sexy, and Mystique would come on and I'd be like, yeah, that's me, I'm walking. Don't even look at me, I'm walking.
I love that. Good. That's what I like to hear. Yes.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to see you and be here. I really have wanted to come on for such a long time because I think it's not often you get to just sit and have a real, genuine conversation about motherhood because you do all these interviews where everything's so... They're always looking for a line or a soundbite and it's you never feel like you can open up. So I was really looking forward to coming and just having a real chat with you.
Well, I think when it comes to doing like sofa stuff in particular or magazine, like it's very hard to get out of the narrative of it's amazing. Because you're cut to such a short amount of time.
Absolutely.
And you know that you can't really go into anything because you can't explain it.
That's right.
Or you can't give a rounded view of it.
Exactly.
So you have to condense it to, it's amazing.
Yes. I'm fine.
I'm still smiling. Didn't sleep last night, but I'm still smiling.
Exactly. Spot on.
So what was your childhood like?
Oh, how long you got? We need more than an hour for that and a therapist.
This is your therapy session, so I'm in charge, so feel free.
My childhood, it was fun. I had a great childhood. I had ups, I had downs, I had challenging times, I had a very dysfunctional family. I came from a very, very small town, Welwyn Garden City, and I felt very safe in my hometown. I had a great set of friends. I loved school. I was always creative, very active. But I think like anyone, it was full of its challenges and there were times that weren't great. And there were times when I look back, most of my great memories when I look back on my childhood were probably being at school and being creative. And
really?
Yeah, definitely. I thrived. I was the kind of child that if I was ill, I would still want to go into school. Like I hated a sick day. That changed once I got to secondary school. But primary school, I absolutely loved it. Yeah.
And did you ever think about yourself having kids and having a family?
I remember the thought that I had as a child, it sounds so silly to say it now, I used to go around saying I'm never having children because I don't want to bring children into this world. That I love my unborn child so much that I can't possibly bring them into this world. And I remember saying that for years as a kid.
Really? How old were you?
Like primary school. And then that went on through secondary school. And I just remember having this really strong feeling of I would love them so much. How could I? Because I was afraid of everything as a kid. I was scared of the world. So to me, it was a really scary place. And as a 41-year-old, it really is a scary place. But I think that the overriding feeling that you get to want to have a baby and to make a baby with the person that you love takes over the fear.
Yeah.
But the fear when I was a child was the thing that was driving the thought. And the thought was, no, no children, not doing it. Too scary a world.
What was your relationship like with your mum?
really great.
Yeah.
Always has been. My mum and I, my mum, oh my goodness, I don't know what I would do without my mum. She has been incredible. She's always been so supportive and loving and allowed me the freedom to become who I want to be, which has been so nice. And just supporting my wild dreams as well, yeah. Where some parents would... You know, like my dad, for example, when I told him I wanted to sing, it was a scary thing for him and he didn't want me to do that. He would have much preferred me to get a sensible job. He actually wanted me to be a stockbroker or an accountant or a solicitor. Yeah. Whereas my mum was more, when you wake up in the morning, whatever makes your spirit feel good, whatever makes you feel happy, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah.
So I followed that advice instead.
How like conflicting is that?
So conflicting, like really conflicting. Like my dad was quite, I think it was fear because again, he looked at me as this young female of colour trying to make it in the music industry. And he was looking around and thinking, well, that doesn't happen very often. So what makes you think that lightning's going to strike or whatever that saying is, you know, what makes you think that you're going to be different? And I do remember saying to him, you know, I can't base my decisions in life on anyone's successes or failures. Yeah. It really has to be something that I authentically want to do, so an instinctive thing. And so I understood where that concern was coming from. Whereas my mum, she's a natural born hippie. She's very kind of like free thinking and relaxed in her thoughts. And yeah, she was very much just, I believe in you. Whatever you want to do, you can do it. So it was quite nice to have the sensible versus the kind of optimistic, free-thinking parent.
Yeah.
It was quite cool.
Kind of keeps you grounded in your thinking as well.
It really did, yeah, because I was never one of these people that kind of ran away with their dreams. I almost felt silly saying it out loud that I wanted to sing.
Right.
So when people would ask me what I wanted to do, I would say, oh, I want to be a teacher. And, you know, because that was another dream of mine, to become a teacher. And so I would say the practical thing or the sensible thing. Because I knew if I said it out loud, what I really wanted to do, people would look at me and think, oh, come on, behave. Yeah. Who's really going to make, you know, I hate to use the word pop star, but back then it's like, you think you can become a pop star, like get out of the clouds. It would have been that kind of thing. So I kept it to myself, even though it was obvious that it was a passion and a dream of mine to be a creative person and do something within the world of entertainment.
And did you ever think of yourself as a mum? At what point did you start thinking that you would actually bring children into the world?
When I met Azuka.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How old were you when you two met?
We met 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And he was the first person that I met that I knew that we could have children together because our values, our morals, our thinking, everything aligned, very much on the same page, same belief system.
Yeah.
I trust him as a human being. I knew he would be an incredible dad. And that's the moment that it felt right. And I'd been in toxic relationships before where I knew that I could never bring a child into that relationship because it just, having had those times in my life as a child that were difficult, mm-hmm. you know, I couldn't possibly repeat that for my unborn child. The thought of having children with someone that could possibly do something toxic or show them something toxic that I saw as a child frightened me more than anything in the world. So it was so important for me that the person that I had children with had to be healthy-minded, the relationship had to be healthy, and that didn't happen. So I'm 41 now, I met Azuka when, well, he says we met years and years ago, but I don't quite remember. But apparently we met a few times, but when we really met was 10 years ago when we became really great friends. So yeah, he basically changed my whole thinking from that point of view.
It's interesting that it was a fear that was stopping you.
Absolutely. It really was, because I knew, having grown up and seen certain things that I shouldn't have seen as a child, I knew the importance of having children in a healthy relationship, because I knew the knock-on effect that it has. I mean, it took me a long time, many years, to repair from some of the things that I saw, you know, right into adulthood, like dealing with things that happened in my childhood. And I thought, I'm not going to do that to a child. I would rather have had no children than bring them into the wrong environment. Yeah. Because I'd been there and walked the walk, and I knew the baggage that I was carrying and how certain things made me very angry. And I thought, I'm not doing it.
Mm. Yeah. Was it difficult deciding when to start a family? Because obviously you have become increasingly, like, you're someone whose career has just gone from strength to strength, and you've kind of, you jump on many different lily pads, if you like,
right,
across the pond of a career. Like,
right.
So is it hard kind of going, I'm going to have a baby now? And we all know that that doesn't necessarily work like that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Azuka tells me off a lot for using the word, oh, time is running out. He gets really... I mean, I guess on one hand, I can say that's easy for a man to say, but I also understand what he's trying to say to me because, again, coming back to the... We genuinely believe that the thoughts that you put out, you manifest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So therefore, if you say things like, well, I'm too old to have a baby or time is running out, then that's the anxiety that you're putting out into the world. So he was right. And I guess maybe women instinctively have a natural concern about time because we do have a body clock. It's a real thing. And I always say that to him, like, it's a real thing. I'm not
making
it up.
Did you suddenly get this, like, craving to have a child?
I did. Like, a strong urge. Yeah, strong. And it hit me sideways, actually, because I had been someone that had resisted it before. Yeah. And then, like you said, I was so focused on work that it didn't take priority. But there came a point when I was about 32, 33, I just started having an instinctive feeling. And Azuka and I probably talked about it for a good year.
Really?
Before we made the decision. Because, and this is why I love him, because he's really sensible.
Yeah.
He's not somebody that just like, yeah, come on, let's just,
but also,
you know,
if you've spent like decades kind of going, no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
To suddenly switch over and kind of go, this is it. You do want to take that time and kind of get your head around it.
That's right. And I think for me, it was really important that we had quality time as a couple as well, to just be us. That was so important. And I think when you're, as you know, you've got two creative people in a household, you don't clock off at 5 o'clock. There is no 9 to 5.
No.
It's 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Your brain doesn't switch off. And so we were trying to figure out how we can bring a child into that, into our creative space and be present for our children while still being ambitious and wanting to do the things that we want to do. And so we talked and talked and talked till we couldn't ignore the desire to do it. And it was almost like, and I touch wood, the day we decided we were going to do it, we pretty much fell pregnant.
Really?
We pretty much fell pregnant straight away. Yeah.
What was it like when you found out you were?
I remember I was in the bathroom by myself. And I actually, this is really corny, but I actually did that thing. I don't know if anyone's ever done this. I'm going to quit. I turned to the mirror and I smiled at myself. I was like sitting there and I literally just turned and I smiled in the mirror. I was like, oh my God.
I love it. You've got no one to share it with. I'll share it with myself.
It was like that. It was so funny, but this real like warm sensation just like filled me.
Yeah.
It was just lovely. And then I just walked straight into the living room and told Azuka. And he was,
did he even know you were doing a test?
Yes, he did. Oh, he did. He went and got it for
right,
me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he knew. But it was one of the, he should have been in there with me, really, shouldn't he? But it was a lovely feeling, like the best feeling in the world. Yeah.
How was that first pregnancy? Because you kept it secret for quite some time.
Six months.
How do you do this every time?
I have a good seamstress. Well, yeah, the bill for the tailor that year was quite
really
high. Yeah. But do you know what it was? When I look back, it's quite, most people would think, why would you hide that? It's really silly.
I think it's personal choice. I don't think it's a silly, you know.
I think at the time, the thinking was, because Azuka and I had been together for a long time and I hadn't put it out there. And it wasn't that we were hiding for any particular reason. We were just enjoying.
You don't have to declare everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And we were just enjoying being us, right? So the first thing was, well, no one knows I'm even in a relationship and now I'm pregnant. How are we going to get around this? We'll just hide it. So, and also, I was doing Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
And in my little head at the time, because you can overthink things, but in my head I thought, oh, I don't want to say I'm pregnant. People don't even know I'm in a relationship and then distract from the show. And in my mind, I was like, let's just finish the show so that can have its moment without any pregnancy malarkey.
Yeah.
And then we can announce that we're pregnant. And that's pretty much what I did. The live show wrapped and then I went down to Cornwall with my family, told all of them, and then...
How far along were you?
6 months.
What? Your family must have been like...
My nan was furious and my cousin was... They were furious. They were actually furious. My mum knew. Yeah. Bernadette, who works with me, she's a great friend of mine, she knew.
Yeah.
And I think a close friend knew, but yeah, I kept it quiet.
Did you carry yourself differently from the moment you were no longer hiding it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I doubled in size. Did the minute I announced I was pregnant, it was like the belly just appeared.
Yeah.
And it felt like the shortest pregnancy ever.
But well, because I'm not going to everyone else's expectations.
Yeah. I loved being pregnant. I mean, I loved it.
Really?
I was so, I mean, I'm annoying myself by saying this, but I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing that happened, I had some like really bad lower back pain for a couple of weeks. But other than that, I just loved it. I felt great. I felt energized. I mean, I had my moments.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not saying it was perfect, but when I look back, the joy of it overrides anything else.
Yeah.
And I just remember loving the feeling. I loved feeling her inside me. And we found out we were having a girl quite early on. And we named her when I was 5 months pregnant. We already found
her. I love
her name.
It. You had her name. No one else knew she even existed, but she had a name.
We were calling her Azura.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Brilliant, right?
Were you worried at all about the actual giving birth section of it?
I was quite... Okay, so we decided to do hypnobirthing, which when I look back now is really funny because I really don't know if it worked.
Okay.
But I did quite enjoy the process, and the lady that actually took the class with us ended up being in the room when we gave birth. And so the whole thing was lovely. We had like really nice music, and you have all these ideas of what you want, don't you?
Yeah.
But sometimes, the world has another plan for you. But what I tried to do when I was pregnant was avoid any conversations with anyone about pregnancy because
right.
I didn't want, I'm one of these people, I'm quite reactive and I'm an energy person. So if somebody sits there and tells me a horror story, I'm going to take that on board. So I was like, I don't want to hear your pregnancy stories. If you've got a horror story, you keep it to yourself. I'm going to stay on my lily pad and I'm going to romanticize this pregnancy and I'm going to just enjoy it and have fun and embrace and trust that my body knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
And I remember my best friend Victoria kept saying that to me. You've just got to trust that everything that's happening is happening because it's supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard her voice. And then I was obviously thinking about the hypnobirthing, which was teaching me all about relaxing and that if I tense up and I'm stressed, that I'm actually preventing the process. So I had all of that. And I really tried my best to stay as calm as possible. And I really did for the most part.
Yeah.
I was quite proud of myself. It was quite a long labour. And then in the end, I had to have an epidural because I was done. I'd gone the whole night not sleeping.
You know
and
what?
I was like, I'm done.
You don't get an extra medal.
No, exactly.
You don't.
And that's what they said to me. They're like, you just do your best. You go as long as you can. And I did. I tried my best. I went as long as I could. And then in the end, I had an epidural and then I pushed her out in 10 minutes.
With hypnobirthing, and I just think... Life is busy.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you're here, there and everywhere and you don't have time to really just think about what your body's going through.
That's right.
I think even having, so I've done hypnobirthing the 3 times and I think even just having that 10 minutes carved out a day where you just both sit together and you like just sit and think about
breathing,
calming.
Like meditation.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Because we don't do enough of it.
That's right. And the music, when I would hear it, it would trigger something and it would take me to that calm place. And I am such a believer in your mind is the ruler. It's like, yes, this is physically happening to you, but your mind can control it to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So if up here is aligned and in the right frame of mind, then I think it aids you well. It assists you well. So I felt like between the two of us, we were... And it's scary when it's the first because you don't know what to expect. Yeah. But I think for the most part, when I now look back... Yes, that again, there were moments that were challenging and I had a few screamy moments.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I had a great birth and I enjoyed it. And it was the best thing in my life, really. Nothing's topped it.
Really?
Breastfeeding. Breastfeeding's topped giving.
Did you love it?
I loved it so much. I did it for a year with Azura. I loved it so much.
Did it happen naturally from the start?
It happened as soon as she was born. She latched straight onto me. And I was really sad when it came to an end. And I felt like that with Anaya as well.
Really?
Like really sad because there's no nicer bond. Like that moment that I would have with her, it's indescribable. I can't find the words to describe how it made me feel. Well, you know, obviously all that lovely oxytocin flying around your body, but it was so special.
Mm.
And there was one point, I think Azura was 9 months old and I was due to go out to do a charity trip in Ghana and I had to get an injection. And they said that I wouldn't be able to breastfeed or something if I had this injection. I started panicking. I was like, I can't go. I can't stop breastfeeding. I can't remember what happened, but I remember I was in the doctor's office like crying because at the thought.
Well, it's having it snatched from you and without it being your.
That's right.
Your decision.
And I said, that's not happening. She has to naturally wean herself off. And I can't remember what happened, but it all got resolved. And in the end, she did naturally wean herself off. And by a year, she was more comfort feeding in the morning and the evening, but it just all happened on her terms, which wasn't the case with Anaya, but with Azura, I got.
Is Anaya finished now?
Yes.
Is that weird? Is that weird? Strange,
they're all shriveled up.
God bless them.
Oh, they'll be back, don't you worry. They'll be coming back strong.
Davina, when she did the podcast, she said, you know, you do get them back. They're not quite the same, but they do come back.
Well, mine really came back strong after Azura.
Really?
It took about, I can't believe I'm saying this in front of men. It took about 6 months to a year, but they came back. I was quite pleased because it was horrifying at first. Really horrifying. But hey ho,
like
that's the price you. Yes, literally. Yeah. But that's the price you pay for something so beautiful. I would do it again if it meant being able to breastfeed my child.
What was that moment like when you first met Azura?
Oh, I can't even find the words to describe it. It was the most surreal, out of body experience is a really good way of explaining it. You've just reminded me that once I had Azura, the 7 days that followed that, the first 3 days that followed that were quite bad for me emotionally. Right. I was a complete mess.
Yeah.
I suddenly realised, remember what I said to you earlier about the fear that I had as a child, about bringing a child into the world? It's like that fear came into the room and I suddenly was just in floods of tears constantly and I couldn't sleep. And Azuka didn't know what to do with me. Really? I was having an out-of-body experience. And I know I was exhausted and I know there were so many other things going on. But I remember the 3 days after her birth, it was quite a dark time for me. Not in my relationship with her and how I was with Azura, but how I was feeling. I just felt so overwhelmed and scared. And then this, and it was like, how am I going to protect the most precious, special, pure being that I've ever seen in my life? It was that overwhelming. Well,
suddenly
feeling.
Everything else seems really scary. Like even leaving the hospital.
I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to go anywhere, literally. So that sensation was quite a scary feeling to carry. And I thought, is this just mums that carry this feeling? Because dad's not over there crying 3 days in a row.
Or in our house he was. There was a point in the week when me and Tom just sat down and went, I'm just, what's going on? Like, we were both in floods of tears.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
I think it's that thing, it's so overwhelming. And I think we focus so much on the birth.
Yeah.
That actually when this little alien is put on top of you and they're so fragile and you don't know them and it's all just suddenly massive.
Yeah, I've never talked about that either. Like, remembering that was the part that would put me off doing it again, because that feeling, I felt so scared and alone and afraid of it, just everything. Yeah, and didn't want to leave. That was what I remember. Luckily, we got to stay in the hospital a little bit longer because
she couldn't stop crying.
She had to be monitored, but it gave me a little bit of time to kind of get my head around everything before leaving the hospital. And once I got home, I was absolutely fine.
Really?
Yeah. It was the minute I walked in my door and I got to my, and I was in my house, I was fine.
Because they say that day three is the scary one.
Well, like, it must have been day three.
Because of,
then.
The milk comes in and I think, I can remember having hallucinations on day three.
I probably did. Yes, I said the word that I keep thinking, out of body experience, because I felt like I was on another planet.
Yeah.
My mind was playing tricks with me. So therefore I probably was hallucinating.
Yeah.
I was full of anxiety and fear and I wasn't sleeping.
Yeah.
So I was sleep deprived. And it was tough, but I'm glad, I'm thankful that I've experienced that. I understand it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's primal, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's normal, like those feelings. I was worried at the time that I would not stop feeling like that. Yeah. And I was glad that it passed as quick as it did.
And that is why this podcast exists.
Yeah.
Because people will be having those sorts of feelings and feeling like they're on their own, and that actually maybe they're not meant to be a mum. Maybe that, you know, maybe actually they've made a mistake. They've got no maternal bones in their body, whatever.
Right.
And I think understanding that your mind goes all sorts of places and that other people have felt it can be such a comfort.
Yes, exactly. I agree. I think we all need to know that we're all experiencing the same things, yeah. and you're not alone. But yeah. interestingly, you can feel so alone
yeah.
when you're in that dark place.
Because also you want other people to think that you're really good.
Yeah,
you're a really amazing mum. Yeah. You're a superwoman.
Of course, of course. But I think there's absolutely no shame in saying I struggle.
No.
And I struggle. Even at this point with two children, I have my days where I have to say to myself, you're doing okay. You're yeah. trying your best and that's good enough today.
I think realising that sometimes, some days, it can all go wrong.
Yeah.
And other days, just one thing will go wrong.
Yeah.
And that's all right.
Yeah. And you have to make peace with that.
Yeah.
It's the roller coaster ride, the ups and the downs. Mm. It's all part of it. And it's easier said than done. And I guess depending on what your mental state is, some people can snap themselves out of that quicker than others.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes time. And interestingly, with Anae, it was like the other way around.
Really?
Like I had a bit of a tougher time leading up to the birth, but once she was born.
Do you think that was because like you were feeling anxious about feeling that way again?
I don't know what it was. I just know that 2 weeks before she was born, I basically cried every single day.
Really?
Yeah. And I felt so low.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Did you think about, you know, the fact that you weren't going to have, like, Azura wasn't going to have you on her own? Was it that dynamic changing?
Yeah, because you kind of grieve different things, don't you? Because I remember feeling sad that it was no longer going to be Azuka and I when Azura came along. And then, yes, the end of another era, the end of just the three of you. I think, truthfully, I don't know what it was. I think it probably was a combination of anxiety, hormones, tiredness. But I felt so low in the last 2 weeks of my pregnancy that I was worried, which is a pointless thing to do because worrying changes nothing, but I was a little bit concerned that I was going to feel like that after she was born. And interestingly, it was like this dark cloud, which made no sense to me because here's the most joyful thing that's ever going to happen to me. The dark cloud went as soon as she was born.
Really?
It's like it went away. And all those worries I had, I was worried because I'd like to think of myself as quite a well-rounded, healthy human being. So the thought of dipping into a place that feels alien and being stuck in a bit of a low spot worried me.
Mm.
So maybe it was just hormones. I don't know. Maybe I was working right up until the point of having her. It could have been that.
Yeah.
That maybe I was doing too much. But at the time, I was like, no, I'm fine. I've got this. But maybe in reflection, maybe it was a lot on my emotional well-being.
Yeah.
You know?
What was labour like with her?
It was 4 weeks unplanned. Yeah.
But maybe even that, like if you didn't, you know, 2 weeks, maybe something was going on and that's why she came early and it was,
so my waters broke 4 weeks early and I kept texting my obstetrician saying, is this normal? She's going, yeah, this is fine. And then one day it's like running down my leg and I was like, no, this isn't normal. I'm coming in to get checked. And she's like, yeah, your waters have broke. And they wanted to induce me there and then. I said, no. I said, I'm going home to go to sleep. I'll be back on Monday.
What day was this?
This was Saturday. I was like, my cousin's coming round for dinner tomorrow. No. I was like, I need a family day. I'm going home. I'll see you on Monday morning. Just swear to God. Because I'd had this 2 weeks of crying and feeling down. I was so emotionally drained and exhausted. And I just needed a good night's sleep. I was like, this was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was not having this baby right now. And they were like, look, as long as you take this antibiotic, baby will be okay. Come back in Monday morning and we'll induce you. So it gave me a minute to just, we were in shock. We weren't expecting her to come. So we had to just take it in, breathe, think about it, have the day with the family.
Was everyone just watching you the whole day?
Just my cousin and her daughter. And they were like, you just need to go and have this baby. Yeah. So Monday morning, we checked in at the hospital and we were induced and then nothing was happening. And I had a terrible day of things I don't really want to talk about. It was just not very nice. Yeah. I screamed the hospital down at one point.
Were you in pain or?
I had to have an epidural because they had to do some checks and everything was uncomfortable. And it was just a very up and down day. Yeah. This went on till like 11 o'clock at night and I was just exhausted. And they said, look, maybe the fact that she's 4 weeks early, maybe your uterus just doesn't want to get going. And they're like, we can keep doing this, but there's no guarantees that it's going to happen. So in the end, I had a C-section and I hated every minute of that.
Did you?
I did. Respect to people that choose it. Me, I was literally like, how do people choose this? This is horrific. I don't know if it's because psychologically I was geared up to have a natural birth and then I didn't get that natural birth that I found it all a bit shocking. But it all felt very clinical and scary and too many people and nothing that I wanted. Mm. And then also I knew I was flying out to America 5 weeks later. I was like, I've got to get on an aeroplane. I haven't got time to be sitting around after a C-section. I mean, there are all these thoughts going on, and so it wasn't ideal, but she came out healthy, and that is all that matters.
Yeah,
healthy, happy, crying, latched straight on. I had a horrific time for the 6 days after. I was just in a bit of a bad way, but she was
that in a very different bad way to the first time around?
Well, yeah, because I was pumped with all these drugs and I felt spaced out and completely out of it, and it was so painful just getting out of bed. Yeah. And I feel like
that's the thing. So I know people who have had to have like emergency C-sections or C-sections, and it's not easy.
No, it's not. That's why I can't understand the concept of choosing it. Fair play, but no way. If I fell pregnant again, I would still want a natural birth. Now I've experienced the two.
Yeah.
And just how it was, like, for example, I'd be lying there and if Anaya was crying and I'd want to quickly get up to my baby and I couldn't because I was in so much pain.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fun. And I was sick and it was not pleasant in any shape or form.
Did you have to find yourself sort of becoming at peace with having to have an emergency?
Took me a while. To be honest with you, there's still a little part of me that hasn't completely let it go.
Yeah.
But I just keep saying to myself, she's healthy. That's all that matters. Yeah.
I think that's what we try to try and rationalise it.
Exactly.
But I think it is interesting that so many women find that difficult to come to terms with.
I found it really barbaric. Mm. This didn't feel right for me, but it was right for Anaya in that moment, and it is what it is. And in a way, her coming 4 weeks early was a blessing because it gave me a bit more recovery time before I had to go to work. Yeah. So there's always a silver lining. There's always a blessing. You can always find the positive in any situation. So I just try to look at all the positive aspects of that rather than anything that was negative.
Yeah.
You know?
What was it like bringing Anaya home?
It was gorgeous. It was a lovely sunny day. I felt so relaxed in the car.
Really?
Compared to when I brought Azura home. Like, because I ate Azuka, I was like, he's got this. Yeah. Like, he's a great driver. He's calm. He's got we were all just feeling so much more relaxed and confident.
Yeah.
That was the lovely thing about the second baby.
Yeah.
We're like, we've got this.
Yeah.
And it was such a nice feeling. It's like, you know what's coming next. You know you're going to feel like this and you know it's going to pass.
Yeah.
So that was nice. So then you can be more present.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. We came home and my mum was there waiting with Azura. They had been to visit us in hospital, but
what
they were
there.
What
was that like, the girls' meeting?
Just unbelievable. Unbelievable. And just so surreal seeing Azura holding her sister and just she's absolutely obsessed with her. It's gorgeous.
I remember being in a lift once and I had just Buzz, so I had one child, and a lady came in and she had two children and she said, you think you love your child, but when you see them with their sibling, if you're lucky enough, your heart just goes to a whole new level.
Yeah.
For the first child, a second child as well, but you love them in such a different way.
Absolutely. It's just been every day something new. And watching the two of them and watching their relationship and keeping an eye on Azura, making sure that she is completely a part of it and that we're a team, that it's not mummy and daddy and Anaya, that we are a team together. Because I had a few moments of feeling really sad in the first couple of weeks that Azura was being neglected. It was a real, almost felt like I was, I don't know the word to describe it, just like I was not there 100% for her how I wanted to be, because I was
especially nursing. If you had a C-section, you can't.
Well, that and nursing every half an hour, you know, in the beginning. And so it's almost like I felt like I was pushing her out, but not meaning to push her out. Yeah. And I felt really sad for that. And I could see she had a little moment of, this is weird. Like, I've asked for a sibling and I love her, but what I feel sad too, and I don't know how to explain it because I'm six. Oh. It was a bit of that going on. But I think we're over that now, and now we're in the nice spot, and she's reading to her, and she's just adorable with her. It's lovely, really lovely. Yeah.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, it's so sweet, so sweet. She's asking me for a brother already.
Oh, really? She put her order in.
Relax. Yeah, she put her order in. She did actually say to me, there was one day she said, it's quite hard, isn't it, mummy, having two children? I said, sometimes, darling. I said, but it's lovely, it's beautiful. She said, sometimes I do miss it when it's, you know, not just me, you and daddy. And I thought that was quite sweet. But then I said, but you did ask for her, just so you know. Yeah. Mummy's done this for you. Just remember that. When you're feeling like that.
Well, we've started thinking about having like one-on-one days with the kids.
That's nice.
Just to kind of, so that they've got their, that's a little nice bit of time with
absolutely
you.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've tried it with Buddy, the 4-year-old, and it's gone to pot.
Oh, sometimes. Really?
Yeah.
But it's a good idea.
Lower my expectations.
They do need that quality time.
Yeah.
You know, just focus time on them. And we do try our best to make sure there's a good balance. And, I think for the most part, we're doing a good job of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were speaking before we started recording about going again.
Yeah.
And that kind of... But I heard someone say to me, when you're done, and you know it. And I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm done. Like, my body did not like being pregnant the third time. But never say never.
I think I'm like that. Because I have days where I say, absolutely no way. Two is great. This is manageable. On, you know, that the sort of the pragmatic level of parenthood, where, you know, you just want to be organised and know I've got this and this is manageable. Then I have other days where... The joy and the love and the beauty of it, that's the feeling that you're constantly in battle with, because one day you're like, why wouldn't I want another baby? This is amazing. They're amazing. And then another day you're like, I'm going to pull my hair out and I'm going to go crazy. Absolutely no way. Never again. So it's interesting how that changes from day to day, but literally.
We're literally going to be caught in like a, you know, a moment where we're feeling very
moment
full
of
love, a moment of weakness. And we're going to go, let's go again. Then we're going to be like, what have we done?
I mean, God was very clever with the design.
But isn't it crazy? Like, I do think you can have a day where everything is going wrong.
Yeah.
Everything.
Exactly.
There's meltdowns galore and you're, you know, having to repeatedly ask for the same thing.
Yeah.
And then that moment where you just get a kiss that you haven't asked for.
I know.
And your heart just melts.
I know.
And it's in that moment.
I know. And I felt, well, the last 4 weeks, and Anaya's 6 months now, the last 4 weeks, I sound like I'm sad all the time. I'm really not. But I've had that moment of feeling a bit like, oh my God, am I never going to be pregnant again? Am I never going to breastfeed again? And that in itself is quite a sad feeling. Because there's a part of me that doesn't want that to be the end of that part of my life, because it's so beautiful. And then there's the other voice that says, well, you've experienced it in its all its glory, so just chill.
I found third time round that I in my pregnancy felt like I was asking too much to expect another healthy child. Like I was like, can I be this lucky?
I see. Yeah.
Which is, so I don't know what I would be like in a fourth.
Interesting.
But when Max was about 6 months, I started getting rid of stuff and being like, that can go to you, we don't need that. And now recently I've kind of been a bit like, not that Tom would be like, no, we're not. But just that kind of, it is, the sadness is hitting now.
It's a strange feeling, isn't it? I also, and it comes back to what I was telling you before about the age thing. I hate that it is a thought process in my mind, because I think if we were sitting here and I was 31, 34, we'd probably be having a very different conversation. But my decision, I would be lying if I said that the fact that I am 42 this year, it is a thing where I think, well, do I? It's not so much that I'm afraid that I can't, because I do genuinely believe that if you're healthy and you look after yourself and there are ways that anything can happen, I do think it's possible. It's more about the older I get, and I don't know if this is a silly thing to think, I worry about having less time with my children. But then Azuka says, but nothing's guaranteed for anyone. Yeah. So you could be 20 years old and have a child and not be guaranteed to spend the rest of your life with that child.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter about the age. And I know he's right, but yet I still have that thought where I go, oh, the older I get, the less time I get with my babies. And it's a silly thought, I know, but I think it.
I guess it's something, you just have to consider.
You just consider it, yeah. But you know what? It is what it is. I've been blessed with children at this point in my life, and it's my job to stay healthy, you know, so that I'm there for them as long as I can be. And in an ideal world, you know, I would have had children earlier, but I didn't meet the love of my life till I was 31.
And also, if you'd have had children earlier, it wouldn't be the children that you have now.
That's right. And actually, to be honest, more than anything, take even Azuka out of the equation, I'm a better human being now. Yeah. So I'm therefore a better mum. I think I would have still been a good mum in my, you know, 20s, maybe my early 30s. But I think I feel like the older I get, the more I just become a better person, a calmer, patient, considerate person. And I'm still working on myself and still trying to become a better version of myself. But I think... So for me, maybe it's not so much about the age you are, it's about where you are in yourself as a person that makes you a great parent or not.
Yeah.
You know.
How have you found your recovery both times? Especially knowing that you've got to kind of get back.
Yeah. Well, with Azura, it was great because it was a natural birth. I had her on the 1st of October and I didn't go back to work till the middle of January.
Amazing.
So I had the rest of the year to just be mum, relax, enjoy, adjust. With Anaya, completely different story. I had obviously an unplanned cesarean and then I flew out to America 5 weeks later to start a brand new job. Just did normal stuff.
Did that put pressure on you though? Kind of feel like I need to recover, like I need to...
Okay, so one of the things I'm really proud of about myself is that I'm not that person that's like, you need to get in the gym and you need to be a certain size.
Actually, I've got to say, I watched an interview that you did just after having an heir where someone said to you, and you wouldn't know that you had a baby, however. And you were like, no, you would. Like, you were very, like, you kind of not shut that down, but you were like, no, actually. It's like a conversation that you didn't even want to entertain.
Yeah.
Because like, I felt that that was really important and
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I was doing AGT and it was, everyone was like, oh, I can't believe you just had a baby. But to me, it was so obvious I just had a baby. Mm. And I wanted it to be obvious that I just had a baby. I wasn't trying to shy away from the fact that I just had a baby. What was really brilliant and a complete blessing, the fact that I was doing something that I was genuinely so excited about, it really helped the recovery. Because there I was in LA with bright blue sky, with my family, doing a job that I was so excited to do. It gave me this new energy. Yeah. And it was really nicely paced out. Like, we'd work one day, we'd have 2 or 3 days off. So it was like complete mummy time for 2-3 days, then go to work at a job that I love with people that I know, and my family were right there with me. So it was, on paper, the ideal scenario. Yeah. I'm very, very lucky. So what might seem crazy to some people, like going back to work after 5 weeks, it was like, couldn't think of a better way to have done it. It was like the perfect way to go back to work. Yeah. It actually helped me because I was in a joyful space. It wasn't till I came back home in November that I was suddenly like, oh, I've just had a baby. Maybe I should chill out for 2 months. It was really surreal. And also that the five weeks, which sounds so quick, was gorgeous. The 5 weeks of just, because we didn't announce that we'd had the baby, we're just in our little bubble, nursing every day, just complete gorgeous family time before going out to do something that I've dreamt of doing for years. So it was lovely.
It's so nice.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. Yeah. And it was embraced as well, you know.
Well, how have you dealt with your body changing after giving birth?
I like my body more now than I did when I was in my 20s. Yeah, I said that to Azuka the other day. Yes, I'm going through that typical, my hair's all falling out, not today because I've got loads of extensions in, but my hair's like falling out.
Right, of course. It's all like my little halo.
Hair's falling out, boobies don't look like they used to look. I've still got my little kangaroo pouch going on, but it's okay. It's fine. I had that before and, you know, your hair grows back and everything bounces back. You've just got to be healthy and look after yourself. So I've just made peace with the process.
Then that's it. It's making peace and it's accepting it.
Absolutely. And my husband's amazing. I say husband. We're, just to clarify, everyone thinks Azuka and I are married. We're not married.
Are you not?
No, but I call him my husband because he is. Because to call him my boyfriend just seems so juvenile. So just to clarify that. So when I say husband, you know what I mean. So he makes me feel really special because he always tells me, if I'll, because sometimes I have those days where I'm like, look at my donut. And he's like, it's beautiful. And I'm like, that gave us our babies. So it's like, it's how you choose to look at something.
Well, and also I think for me, I spent a lot of my 20s kind of berating my body and looking at its flaws and almost picking up on my flaws before other people could.
Right.
And directing so much hate towards it.
Right.
And then actually when it's given you a baby, you're kind of like, I have not treated you with the respect that you deserve.
You deserve, you're so right. You're so right. And so when I have a day where I am being like that, I try to remind myself all the time how incredible the human body is and how clever we are and give myself props for what my body's actually been through.
Yeah. You've talked about Photoshop before as well.
Yeah, I did a whole documentary on it. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love a filter. I love a filter and I love good lighting. but I think for me, what my major issue was back then was the fact that people aren't transparent enough about it. You've just got to be really honest. If you're Photoshopped or you're using filter, just say. It's nothing to hide away from. Like, we all look in the mirror and think we could do with more sleep and a suntan to give us a glow. It's life. Yeah. But you've got to be okay with that side of yourself. You can't, or, you know, I'm a person that spends a lot of time getting my hair and makeup done and I love my glam squad. But I can also look in the mirror and be okay with me without that. I can, you know, there was a time in my 20s, actually, where I was having hair and makeup done so much. I'd come home and take my hair extensions out and my makeup off. And I was like, oh, I don't like this person. And this is another great thing about becoming a mum and getting older. You just become more comfortable in your own skin. It's acceptance.
Yeah,
this is who I am. You know, take me or leave me. This is who I am. And I love that.
Is part of that also having children and wanting to show them, you know, or be a good role model and that body got like confidence and being just comfortable in your skin.
Yeah. And I'm very mindful of the conversations that happen around Azura because if ever there's any adults in the house and they would start talking about body image or anything like that, I'm always very mindful that she can't hear it or that conversation doesn't happen when she's around because I don't even want it to be something that she's tuning into at 6 years old. It's just not important. Yeah. And I think I'm a believer that you can teach your children so much just by your actions rather than what you say. And I hope that when she sees mummy's happy with who she is in her skin, that will then, you know, she will pick up on that and hopefully we'll have the same way of thinking. Yeah. I hope. You just don't know.
It's a minefield, isn't it?
It's a minefield.
Well, I find it really fascinating that everything we feed into them is going to have a reaction and we don't know what that reaction is until it happens.
Well, that's it. They're like sponges soaking everything up. And I think that I did have a moment the other day, and I know I did want to talk to you about the book, but I had a moment the other day where Azura, she created a book and she brought it to me and my mum had it made into a real book and inside it said creative director Azura Nonye and she went into her playroom and she stood the book next to the book Star Switch, my new book, and I had a little moment to myself where I thought, job done.
Yeah.
Because for me, what that was her saying, my mummy's done that, so I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Or my mummy's created that, I'm going to create that. And that to me was like such a lovely full circle moment where I just sat back and I thought, that is the whole point of everything I do, that hopefully my girls, I will lead by example and set a great example. And that was just such a gorgeous moment for me where I suddenly thought, that's all I want. I want to inspire them to be the best versions of themselves that they can be.
I can remember being sat next to you at an event and you being like, I'm starting to write a book.
Yeah.
That was at the very start.
Yeah, it's like 3 years ago now. Yeah.
It must be amazing. I know that you know, the girls are a huge part of why you want to do it as well.
Massively.
So to actually get that
That's what I mean.
Back.
Yeah. So in the beginning, I love, I mean, I read to Azura every night. My mum used to read to me every single night. And I think that's such a special moment as well. I would look at the characters that Azura was reading and I felt, and I'm being really honest here, when I was growing up, I never read any books where I felt represented in books. And I thought, I don't want her to feel like that. This is a new day. I just don't want that. So Aurora Beam, the character from Lightning Girl, was inspired by my desire to have Azura reading about a character that looks like her. That's where it started, and it's grown little legs since then.
Well, how many books do you want now?
So Lightning Girl was a 4-book series, which is amazing, and Star Switch is the first of a new series. And today, I mean, this is out of context, but today on World Book Day, I have had so many pictures from so many people dressed up as Aurora Beam, and I have felt so emotional all day.
Really?
Because that's all I wanted. It started with my daughter, and now I've got parents writing to me saying, thank you for giving me a character that makes my daughter feel represented. That honestly melts my heart.
Isn't it interesting, because at the start of this conversation, you said about how, you know, your dad might have been like, there's no one of colour doing what you wanted, you know.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, you're kind of saying, We can represent.
We can represent. I do feel now this sense of responsibility. What started off as something that was inspired by my daughter and has become a passion project and something fun to sort of sink my teeth into has now become something that I'm like, no, we have to keep going. We need these characters. And looking at the statistics out there, you know, 4% of all books released in 2018 had, you know, somebody of colour on the front. And that is just a terrible statistic. So I feel like I'm sort of determined to make sure not only books that I'm putting out, but to sort of try and encourage other people and publishers to start investing and supporting.
I guess it's that needs feed sort of thing,
needs
isn't it?
Feed.
So if people are kind of like, oh, people are buying it, people are reading it.
Yeah.
Like, people need to be represented.
That's right.
Well, let's get more writers in.
That's right. And also, but what's so lovely as well, yes, Aurora Beam is a woman of girl of colour, but I'm getting young girls that don't look like Aurora Beam, white girls.
Because it has to work the other way around as well,
yeah,
you
because,
know.
Exactly. Because they don't, kids don't see colour.
No.
They just see a great character.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, it's subliminal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting. And I look at it with a completely different eye now. So I'm having fun with it, but I also feel like I'm on a bit of a mission with it.
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
I like that.
Yeah, it's good.
I have recently written a book about letters on motherhood.
Thank you for sending to me.
Thanks.
Can't wait to read it.
Hope you enjoy it. And so I'm asking people this series, if you could write a letter on motherhood, who would it be to and what would you say?
That's quite a deep question.
Yeah, I'm throwing you right in there.
If I could write a letter to anyone about motherhood, I mean, you know, naturally my first instinct is, of course, I'd love to write a letter to my girls, but I think truthfully, I'd love to write a letter to my mum, you know, and like just tell my mum, like, I feel quite emotional. I knew that was going to happen. Just to thank her.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I did not expect that. It's because I've been up since 5:30. I'm delirious. because I have this real, like my mum's amazing. Like, could not have done anything that I'm doing without my mum. You know, I'm 41 and I still need my mum, like literally. And I now understand, you know, when you become a mum, you understand their journey and what they've been through. And then you find peace and you also forgive and understand why they did certain things and why certain things they got right and some things they got wrong. And there's freedom in that. And it's good to let go of that.
I think it also makes you realise how they're just human.
Oh my God, they're just human.
And they're making it up. Like, we make it up.
I know. My mum was 21 when she had me. You know, I only feel ready now at this age, you know. She was 21. So I just think back then, you know, women were incredible, having children so much younger and not necessarily being emotionally mature enough to handle it. So, yeah, I'd write to my mum and I'd just give thanks for the job that she did and for raising me to be the person that I am today. And yeah, just tell her how wonderful she is. I hope she doesn't hear this now. I'm not one for soppy stuff too often.
Are you not?
Not really. And which is interesting because I cry a lot, but I do it privately.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a private crier.
See, I always think of you as someone who wears their heart on their sleeve.
I do, for sure. But I'm also the kind of person that I just like to just deal with my stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then just keep it moving, you know? And not to say that I can't share and can't talk to people, but I think I don't ever like to feel like, I don't know the right way to explain it.
Yeah.
I just don't like to make a drama out of too much. I just like to just, because I'm really good at sort of analysing and understanding why I feel the way I feel and what's going on. And so I can make sense of that and then I can move forward and I know that things pass and I understand the process in that. And so I'm quite resilient like that. Mm. So it's not that I'm, you know, like silently suffering. It's just that I just deal with things and I just keep going. And
has motherhood made you more emotional though?
Definitely made me more emotional, but also helped me get my together because I haven't got time to be wallowing around feeling sorry for myself, which sometimes I can do. I haven't got time for it because I've got two people there that need me to be strong, need me to be happy, need me to be patient and healthy. So they keep me in check. They don't allow me to wallow in feeling sorry for myself.
Yeah.
And that's why when I say private crier, I'll have a cry. I mean, I even wrote a song about it recently. That's my therapy.
Really?
But that's the thing as a musician.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I wrote a song about it because... And in the song, I say, I just needed a minute. I just needed some breathing space. You know, all I need is a moment to get my head straight. Mm-hmm. And it's that. And it's like, and the song is called War. And it's about that battle that you have with yourself. But you've been, and it's that thing of, I've been here before. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So even though I feel like this, I recognize this feeling and I'm going to keep moving on. Because if you're alive, that's what you keep doing, right?
Yeah.
You just keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would like you to finish these three sentences.
Go on.
It's not scary. Okay,
it's not scary. Yeah.
Being a mum means?
Loving and giving with everything that I have.
Since being a mum, I?
Have become a more patient person.
And I'm happy when?
I mean, there's many answers to that sentence. I mean, watching Handmaid's Tale, drinking.
That makes me happy.
It does.
The most depressing show on TV.
Any box set. What makes me happy? When I'm surrounded by the people that I love more than anything in the world. That is the truth.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Alicia, I have to say that whenever I see you out at events, and to be honest, neither of us have been out for a long time, you have always been so genuine, so lovely and warm, and you are a total delight. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I feel honoured to be here. I love it.
Thank you.
Let's cheers again.
Cheers. Nice cup of coffee.